Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 9 and verses 5 and 6. Peter's reaction. You remember that Peter, James and John have gone up with the Lord Jesus onto the Mount of Transfiguration. And while they're there, Elijah and Moses appear, talking with Jesus. And then we come to verses 5 and 6, and we get Peter's reaction. Of course, he's the mouthpiece for these three. He nearly always is the mouthpiece. He speaks out for them. It says in verse 6, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened, but that didn't stop him speaking. He didn't know what to say, so he said something, because they were all frightened, but he spoke for them. All three were terrified. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi." Yes, he addressed Christ as Rabbi. "It's good for us to be here. How wonderful it is. It's lovely. Let us put up three shelters, three little tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." And then in brackets, parentheses, he did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Mark chapter 9, verses 5 to 6. Peter opens his mouth and shows he doesn't know what to say. He's in total ignorance of what's going on here. He wanted things to stay as they were. Wasn't it wonderful? Here, this glorious gathering, these three, Moses, the great lawgiver of the Old Covenant, Elijah, standing for the prophets of the Old Covenant, and now their rabbi, this new man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have three little tents, all on the same level, all one together, you know. Yes, the prophets, the law, and the Christ, all snugging up together. It reminds me, I'm sorry, it reminds me of the Reformed with their view about the law and the covenants. They don't see a discontinuity in the Old and the New Covenants. They're all one covenant, just different administrations. They're all the same together. Moses, Elijah, and Christ. Yeah, they're all one. There's no real difference between them. And this is how Peter is talking. And Peter doesn't know what he's talking about. And with respect, the Reformed view of the covenants is balderdash, is nonsense, is just theological construction placed upon the Scripture. The Bible shows very clearly, and look what happens here. I won't stray into it now, but Moses and Elijah disappear. It is Christ only. Why? Not because Moses and Elijah weren't any use. They fulfilled their purpose in their time. The prophets, the law, they had their place, Israel and so on. But now, Galatians 3, now that time is over. Now the new wineskins, now the new wine, now the new covenant, now the newness of it all. Peter has to come to realize this. This Messiah, this new man, this rabbi here is the Messiah. Peter's already said it, "Thou art the Christ." You get this in chapter 8, and you get it in verse 29. "What about you? Who do you say I am?" says Peter. "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." And here there's going to be a tremendous demonstration to these three, and therefore to us, of this fact, that Christ is the fulfillment of Moses. He is the fulfillment of Elijah. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. I know the but's not there, but it really is there. But grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The prophets spoke of me. Beginning in Moses and the prophets, the Psalms and everything, Christ spoke to them from all the Scriptures, Luke 24, about himself. They can't stay here, Peter. You can't stay here. You can't just hold time. I've got to go to Calvary. They were talking about his death. Christ came into the world to die. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ came into the world not just simply to be a teacher, not to do this, but to save his people from their sins, to save sinners. "Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save." Peter is acting naturally here and kindly, and I understand it. But he's got to go back. Christ has got to go back to the world, to enmity, to the hatred, to the evil spirit, to the cross, and shed his blood for the salvation of his saints, people. It's the end of one age and the beginning of the new. And Peter has got to see it. The penny has not yet dropped for him. He has not yet fully grasped the point, but it's going to come to him. Look at him on the day of Pentecost. Even in Acts chapter 1, he's still getting it wrong, like the rest of the disciples. But Acts chapter 2, there's no doubt now. Here they go. And he sees, and he preaches. Acts 4:12. There is salvation in no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw him only. Well, we'll come to that. Peter's reaction. What's your reaction, my friend? Are you jumbling the covenants together, or do you see the newness of the covenant? Are you in this new covenant? Have you got this new life, this new vigor, this new power, this salvation? Christ came into the world to save sinners. Are you saved? Trust the Savior and be saved from your sins.